And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. Well, it's great to be back with you. We've had a busy week, and I sure hope that you enjoyed our program last week. One of our Prophecy Q&A program that we had, you heard students from our School of Prophecy, that our School of Prophets that took place in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They asked the questions, and I hope you enjoyed that, as those were their questions that they asked at our School of Prophets, and we'll tell you more about upcoming events that we have taking place that you can be a part of. And you also were able to take part in a live event that happened last week, Prophecy Q&A, and then Dr. Rennie Showers had stepped up to the microphone and spoke to us. Well, we've had a busy week. I'm back in San Antonio, and Dad is on the road someplace. Hey, Dad, where are you this week?
Well, last time that you caught me, I was literally on the road driving from one place to another. But we ended up, we've parked the car for a little bit. We're here in Scroon Lake, New York, way up in the Adirondack Mountains of New York State. Jim, there's not as much snow as you're used to. This is where you grew up, buddy. And I can remember some of those winters. Man, we had lots of snow, hundreds of inches of snow. Not so much snow, but a lot of ice around. But we're having a great time. About 400 young people are at the Word of Life Bible Institute, first year here at the Bible Institute in Scroon Lake. They're from all over the country. They're from around the world, in fact. Some from Japan, from Korea, from New Zealand, from Canada, from Brazil, from Argentina. That's why I love teaching students, especially those international students, because they will then go back into their countries and replicate our ministry. And, of course, these from the United States will be doing the exact same thing. I'm teaching the book of Revelation. We're having a great time. You know, the School of Prophets, that was really a fantastic time there in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. But I tell you, I love the opportunity of teaching students, these young people as well, because should the Lord tarry, Jim, it's going to be you and some of these young people that take us into the next generation. That's why it's so precious to my heart.
And it's that's also biblical. I mean, you're replicating yourself, and that's what we like. That's why we do this Prophecy Q&A. So the things that we teach, we're answering people's questions, and we have a lot of questions that have come in, Dad, but we're answering their questions and getting out the message to them to keep telling and keep spreading the word and keep teaching others. Well, your weekend program coming up, do you want to touch on that real quick?
I do. One of the questions that we're going to try to respond to on this Prophecy Q&A, and I already looked ahead at the questions, Jim, it's about the New Apostolic Reformation. And we're going to deal with that and try to come to some type of conclusion as it relates to what it's all talking about. But I am on this weekend broadcast of Prophecy Today Weekend going to be dealing with it with, I think, a man who is very capable of giving us all the details behind it, who's involved, what are they doing, why are they doing it, what's their ultimate goal, and that's Brandon House. Brandon House has worldviewweekend.com. That's his website. He has a radio broadcast, Worldview Weekend Radio. And indeed, he has Worldview Weekends where he does conferences. We're going to be in Tyler, Texas, Dallas, Texas, and then over to Houston, Texas in about 2 weeks. So we're looking forward to that time. But I'm going to be interviewing Brandon about this New Apostolic Reformation. What is it? And why are they on the scene? And is this being used of the devil or is it being used of God? You do not want to miss that broadcast. Plus, there's a lot going on as it relates to Iran. The Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has made the statement that Israel must be attacked by Iran by the year 2014. That's on the website of Prophecy Today, one of those stories, the 10 leading news stories that we post on our homepage. We're going to be talking about that. The fact is that he has also made the statement that Iran can wipe out Israel in about 9 minutes. Well, we're going to be asking Colonel Bob McGinnis. He is a operator. He's a part of the strategy planning there at the Pentagon, and he does some information giving to us here on Prophecy Today, one of our broadcast partners. We'll be talking about that, plus what's happening in the Middle East. I've got a lot to talk about, so looking forward to having the people join us 1 o'clock East Coast time at prophecytoday.com. If we don't have an affiliate, a network affiliate in your area, you can go to our website. It's going to be streaming live information out to the world on our internet radio station, Prophecy Today Radio, 24/7, 365 days a year. So join us, if you will, 1 o'clock Saturday, East Coast time.
All very important information for you to help you live your life as you live it in this world today. Quickly, one of our broadcast partners is Dr. Reynold Showers. We had a great message last Thursday night. We're replaying that message on our Prophecy Today radio network. Briefly, can you just touch, I mean, I know that you've come under a little bit of attack from other people that have a belief in a pre-wrath. Is that something that you could just briefly touch on the message that Dr. Showers gave?
Well, indeed, I would suggest everybody hear the message by Dr. Rennie Showers. And by the way, he was on the radio with us last week. Now, the entire message is great, but if you can only get a few moments, go to our home page, prophecytoday.com. I have a must-listen item that you need to listen to, and that's Rennie Showers giving you the answers. It's really a good answer. He was talking about the mid-trib rapture, which means that the rapture of the church takes place midway through the tribulation period, 3.5 years in, or the pre-wrath, which is about 3/4 of the way through the tribulation period. And the problem with these is, number one, the church is not mentioned in the 16 chapters of detailed information about the tribulation period from chapter 4, verse 2 of Revelation through chapter 19, verse 10. In that 16 chapters of detailed information, the word church is never used. It's used 19 times before chapter 4, verse 2, and it's used 6 times after chapter 19, 11. In other words, in that 16 chapters, detailed information about the tribulation, the word church is not used. Number two, it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 10, I will keep you from that hour of temptation, not take you out of, keep you from that hour of temptation. And that's a promise to the church. You'll not have to go through that time of testing, and which is the tribulation period. Also, when you think about it, there's no reason for the church to be in the tribulation period because of the fact that God has a plan dealing with the Jewish people and the Gentile people, dealing with the Gentile world powers, dealing with the satanic trinity, and the church is not involved with that. God deals with all of those situations. The book of Daniel, chapter 9 and verse 27, gives us the last 7 years of a 490-year program that the Lord has for the Jewish people. The word church and the church people were never involved in the first 483 years. They won't be in that seven-year period of time. And the fact that Christ can come at any moment, that's a major key too. If indeed he's going to rapture the church halfway through the tribulation or 3/4 way through the tribulation, we would see signs, but we're not going to see those because we're not going to be raptured at that time. We'll be raptured before it all happens. And the imminent return at any moment could not take place if indeed we had to go through a portion of the tribulation period. We'd be able to tell you exactly when it's going to happen. But be sure to go to our homepage, prophecytoday.com. Listen to that conversation I had with Rennie Showers last Saturday on our nationwide radio broadcast.
Well, we've got a lot of questions to get to, so why don't we get right to them? Dustin sends in a question. He says, at church, we are studying through Revelation. I know it is not supposed to be studied in order. What is the order? Are the trumpets and vials mentioned in Revelation the same thing? Why or why not?
Okay, Dustin, I'm going to walk through Revelation for you. Now, I would suggest, and by the way, thank you for teaching Revelation in your church. I think that is so key. And I'm just really thrilled that you would do that with a group of people and approach it the proper way, not numerically, but chronologically. The next event on God's calendar of activities is the rapture of the church. Jesus will shout, the archangel will shout, trumpet of God sound, and then those of us who know Christ will be caught up out of here into the heavenlies. After the rapture, there is going to be a seven-year period of time. There will be three sets of seven judgments each, seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments, seven vial judgments. The seal judgments are in Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 8 and verse 1. Out of that seventh seal judgment comes the seven trumpet judgments. That can be found in chapters 8, 9, and 11. And then out of that seventh trumpet judgment will come the seven vial judgments. And that's part of the answer to your question. What about the vial judgments and the trumpet judgments? Are they different? You see, those vial judgments come out of the seventh trumpet judgment there in chapter 11. And the vial judgments are found in chapter 16 of the book of Revelation. During the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, there'll be two witnesses that'll preach. They'll be on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. They'll preach for 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. At the end of that 3.5 years, they'll be killed, lay in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days, which time they will be miraculously resurrected and taken into heaven. Also during that time, there's going to be a false church, Revelation chapter 17, it is going to be found in Rome, Italy. That's where it'll be headquarters. The Antichrist will control it, and it'll be on the world scene for the first 3.5 years. Now, there will be a battle at the end of that seven-year tribulation period. That will be an angelic battle, an angelic war in the heavenlies. Chapter 12, starting in verse 7, going through verse 17 of Revelation 12, this battle will take place, and the Archangel Michael, commander-in-chief of the good angels in the heavens, will be told by God to take Satan, the evil one, and throw him and his angels, the evil angels, down onto the earth, where they will then start to persecute the Jewish people to try to wipe out the Jews so that God cannot keep his promises, the Davidic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the land covenant, and the new covenant to the Jewish people. And that's what has to happen for the Lord to be Lord, to be God himself. If Satan can wipe out the Jews, then God fails. There'll be 144,000 male virgin Jews from the 12 tribes of Israel, 12,000 from each of these 12 tribes that are spread across the world during that seven-year tribulation period. And they will have the purpose of teaching the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24:14. In the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, we'll see that the seven trumpet judgments happen. That's chapters 8, 9, and 11. And the seven vial judgments will unfold. That's chapter 16. Culminating with the kings coming out of the east. That's chapter 16, verse 12. And going to Jerusalem, where all the nations of the world will gather there. And that's Revelation, where it talks about it happening, chapter 16, verses 13 to 16, where Satan, Antichrist, and false prophet will use signs, wonders, and miracles to attract all the nations of the world into Jerusalem. At that point in time, by the way, just before Jesus Christ comes back, that last half, like the first half was chapter 17, ecclesiastical Babylon, the last half of the tribulation period, the last 3.5 years, chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. And that is a location on the earth that was established 4,500 years ago by Nimrod, right after the flood, the worldwide flood. Will it be the location of the Antichrist, who will rule and reign in economic, political, governmental system there from the literal city of Babylon? Everyone who was alive on the earth at that time, Revelation chapter 13, 16, and 17, they have to take a mark, an identification mark on the forehead or the back of the hand to be able to buy or sell. That culminates with the Lord destroying Babylon. That's the seventh of the vial judgments. It's number 21 of the 21 judgments on the earth. And the last thing the Lord does is wipe out Babylon. That's modern-day Iraq. That's why the United States military has been there for almost 9 years. They're out of the way now, but a strong man's going to have to come in and take over Babylon or Iraq because of what's happening there. Well, Jesus Christ wipes out Babylon, then he steps back on the earth, Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 and following. The Battle of Armageddon takes place. He goes then over to Petra. He gathers in the Jewish people. By the way, they will have been protected there. That's Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6. They'll be brought back by the way of the east. Petra's in the east, of course, of Jerusalem, over the eastern mountain, that's the Mount of Olives, in through the eastern gate and up into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, and Jesus Christ will then establish his kingdom. Revelation 20, verses 1 to 3, he tells an angel to bind Satan in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He rules and reigns with those of us who know Christ as Lord and Savior for that 1,000-year period of time. At the end of the 1,000 years, that would be chapter 20, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. Satan is loose for a season, captured again, and then thrown into the lake of fire. You have the great white throne judgment that unfolds then, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. And then at the end of that, this world has passed away. The heavens and the earth have been destroyed, burned up, and we move into eternity future, new heavens, new earth, and new Jerusalem. That's Revelation chapters 21 and 22. Dustin, that's it chronologically. Hope you got that. If not, you can purchase our book, Revelation of Chronology. You can get our walkthrough. We do it on the Mount of Olives, or my five-hour study where I teach Revelation chronologically with a workbook to go along with it. It might help in your study. Hope you could get it. By the way, you saw in there me talking about the trumpets and then the vials. The trumpets and the vials are different. The trumpets take place about middle way in the tribulation. The vial judgments actually, Dustin, take place quickly, probably within 6 months before Christ comes back, maybe even up as short as 3 months. They'll be happening, but they happen rapidly as the Lord is about to appear.
Folks, I'm telling you, you just got a 10-hour master's course in the book of Revelation in about 6 minutes. That was fantastic. I know it's on your heart. Dustin, I know that that will help you. Cindy Thompson sends in a question. She says, I listened to your Saturday radio show, and I heard you say, if Christ tarries his return. I was wondering how he can tarry it because the generation that sees Israel become a nation wouldn't pass away. That happened in 1948. Please explain this for me.
Well, Cindy, you're starting from a wrong premise. The fact is that it does not say in God's word in Matthew 24 that that fig tree that was talked about is Israel. I know that Israel became a nation among the nations of the world in 1948, but that is not the fig tree. You see, Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 from verses 4 through 34 is talking about those things that will happen during the tribulation period. That is for the Jewish people. Christians will be out here. They're going to be in the heavenlies. The rapture takes place before all this in Matthew 24 starts to unfold. When he's talking about the return, he's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so he could tarry because when you look at the, and I know you got the idea from verse 32 in Matthew 24, and I learned the parable of a fig tree. Let me just say that Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, and the reason that's called the Mount of Olives is because of all the olive trees. But on the Mount of Olives, Jimmy can testify, he's been there so many times, there are fig trees all over the Mount of Olives as well. And Jesus would always use his natural surroundings in order to be able to teach or enhance his teaching. He simply looked over. It's in the spring because Passover is about to take place. Jesus Christ will be crucified on Passover. He looks over and he sees a fig tree and he says, hey, learn the parable of a fig tree. Notice what he says. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that the summer is nigh. So it's in the spring. These limbs of this fig tree are putting forth little leaves. And he says, boy, that means the summer's almost here. That's the parable of the fig tree. That's what you can look at. He's not talking about Israel. Israel is not referred to as a fig tree. Now notice verse 33. And he says, so likewise ye, when you shall see all of these things, all of what things? Well, deception, verses 4, 5, 11, and 24. Deception communicated through signs, wonders, and miracles. Wars and rumors of wars, Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7. Famine, and you'll see that happening across our world today. Pestilence, that's an old King James word that means pandemic disease or death. Talks about earthquakes. Well, that's all talking about those judgments that happen during the tribulation period in the sealed judgments, Revelation chapter 6. That's what it's talking about. He said, now, likewise, when you see these things, who's he talking to? The Jewish people. When ye shall see these things, know that it is near. What is near? The second coming. It's near even at the doors. Verse 34, here's where you were getting your ideas from. And here's what it says. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Now, he wasn't talking about the generation he was speaking to at that time, Cindy. He was not even talking about our generation. He's talking about the people that see those things happening. And that will be the time of the tribulation when all of these things are happening. And so that's what he's talking about. The generation that sees these things happening in the time of the tribulation. They shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. And what was he talking about being fulfilled? Verses 30 and 31. Look at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation, verse 30, here's a sign. The Son of Man shall come in the clouds of heaven. Verse 31, and with the sound of a trumpet, he will set up his kingdom, as he calls the Jews from all over the world. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about the fig tree. It's talking about what those people technically who are alive during the tribulation period see. That generation shall not pass away. Cindy, hope that helps. But thanks for the question. It's a very important question. It's a passage that needs to be dealt with properly.
Janelle sends in a question. She says, in view of Zechariah 13:8, what are the world's leaders intending to do to prevent another Holocaust?
Janelle, you know, I don't think they're doing anything. Look at the world's leaders today. They're standing by and watching Iran make the statements, we're going to wipe the Jewish state off the face of the earth, that her name be forgotten forever. Those are the radical quotes that you get from these leaders there in Iran. Nobody is really dealing with the situation. Now, Israel is getting ready to deal with it, but nobody else is really dealing with it. And Janelle, what we can do is nothing to make these world leaders do what they ought to be doing. I tell you what, if somebody was threatening to wipe America off, I'd be bouncing on our leaders to do something. But we're standing by. The world's not doing anything at this time. Bible does say there's going to be a terrible time of persecution of the Jewish people. In fact, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 says, 2 out of every 3 Jews will be killed during that tribulation period. That will be the worst Holocaust ever to take place. The Holocaust of World War II was terrible. It killed 6 million Jews, 1/3 of all the Jews at that time. But it's going to kill 2 out of every 3 if they have about 12.5 million people that are Jewish in this world. That means about 8 million plus are going to be killed during this terrible time to come. And it's a prophecy that will be fulfilled. The Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 12 when Satan and his evil angels are thrown out of heaven. They do everything they possibly can to kill all of the Jewish people. That's chapter 12, verses 7 to 17, and verses 13 to 17, really how the angels that are evil intensify when they're thrown to the earth. Their persecution against the Jewish people try to wipe them out. Janelle, all we can really do is pray for the leaders of this world, pray that their hearts will be right, they'll make the proper decisions. But tell you the truth, honey, I do not see where anybody, any world leader is trying to stop this crazy man and these crazy leaders in Iran from moving ahead and wiping out the Jewish people. I told Jim just a few moments ago on the broadcast this weekend, we'll talk about what the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei said. Israel must be attacked by Iran by 2014. So that's the handwriting on the wall. I don't see that we can stop it.
And as you understand prophecy, it gets exciting because we know the closer we get to that, the closer we get to the rapture of the church. April Siri sends in a question. She says, does Matthew 24, verses 3 through 42, describe the rapture? If so, how does its sequence of events happen? Well, how does this fit with how you describe things in Revelation, a chronology?
Well, April, let me just say, Matthew 24, verses 3 to 42 does not describe the rapture of the church. It's thinking about the second coming. That's what Jesus is teaching. Actually, when you go back to Matthew 24, at that time in history, the idea of the rapture had not even been presented. Now, a couple of days later in the upper room, Jesus Christ will indeed introduce the concept of the rapture when he says to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We're received unto Jesus Christ, not at the second coming, but we're received unto him at the rapture of the church. So, John chapter 14 in the upper room there, that is a reference to the rapture, but it went right over the heads of the disciples. They were having anxiety attacks. They didn't know what their life was going to be when Christ was crucified, so they were very nervous. That's why he was trying to calm them down. But the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, which you asked me to talk about, was a few days earlier, and it is talking about the second coming. Matthew 24 is basically a preview of the book of Revelation. Remember what he said. There are going to be signs that will give deception as the rule for the world, and deception in verses 4, 5, 11, and 24 through signs, wonders, and miracles will be, I believe, the setup for the appearance of Antichrist, the deceiver, the one who claims to be the Jewish Messiah when he's actually a Gentile and certainly not the Messiah. In addition to that, it talked about wars and rumors of wars, and then famine, and then pestilence, and then earthquakes. Well, those are the six sealed judgments of Revelation chapter 6, the Antichrist, the war and rumors of wars, the famine, the earthquake, the earth being inundated with murderers who kill 1/4 of the earth's population. You see, Matthew 24, April, was a preview of the book of Revelation. John the Revelator was there. He was a young disciple of Jesus Christ, and many, many years later, 65 years later, he writes the book of Revelation. Tribulation saints will be resurrected at the end of the tribulation. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 to 6. Those who die because they're martyrs in the tribulation, they will be resurrected at the end of the tribulation period. And I think that it's very interesting that you're asking this question. Might I suggest you get my walkthrough? This will help you understand how to get involved in teaching these things that you want to know about so that you can indeed be able to help in teaching all the people that you come in contact with, especially the little children, about what is going to be taking place.
Very good. And thank you, April, for sending that in. Dad, she says she loves your program. She loves teaching, and she wants us to be prepared for those tough questions. R. Boneil sends in a question. He says, "Dear Dr. DeYoung, why is it that no one addresses the problem of the New Apostolic Reformation and their false dominionist doctrine?"
Well, let me say that Brandon House is one who does address the New Apostolic Reformation. May I say this? I just a moment ago before we went on the air was talking with Brandon House. You know what he told me? He's going to be on with me on Saturday on my nationwide talk program. You can hear it right here on Prophecy Today Radio, prophecytoday.com, or maybe it's on a network station in your area. Be sure to hear that conversation. Brandon is going to address the problem of the New Apostolic Reformation. And in fact, you can go to his website. He has a website, worldviewweekend.com, and he has already made some statements, and you can find him and listen to him and read about them as well. Jesus is coming. I'll say this much. You wait for Saturday to hear the rest of it. Jesus' deed is coming, and we can know that. And it seems to me it could be very, very soon when he does come to the earth. Nothing's going to happen, by the way, before the rapture. That's the next event on God's calendar of activities. The church will not go through this world and conquer the world, and then Jesus Christ comes back. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. You got to study the Word of God. I don't care who you are, what you call yourself, you got to study the Word of God. There's a prophetic scenario laid out in God's Word that is very helpful. The Jews are the chosen people, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 68. They are the chosen people, and God has given them four covenants, and these covenants are absolute. They are unconditional. They have to be fulfilled to the Jewish people. So the Jews have not been removed. They are still going to be major players in the end of time. Listen, we will take a stand against any false doctrine. We've got to defend the faith. We'll do it on Prophecy Today. And I'm going to start that on Saturday when I talk with Brandon House. So if you want more information about the New Apostolic Reformation, NAR, you join us on Saturday when Brandon will be my guest.
Barbara Alberson sends in a question. She says, what nation will totally be destroyed? I heard you teach on this. Was it the Edomites?
Well, Barbara, there are actually two groups of peoples that are going to be destroyed forever. The Edomites are going to be one of them. We have a series, a documentary, a DVD, a video documentary that our son Jim Jr., who is the host of this program, produced. We went into Petra. We went into the Palestinian areas. It's called Esau and the Palestinians. I have a five-hour audio series that's a study, and Jimmy has his documentary on video. You can listen and watch. I would suggest watch first and then listen to the five-hour study. And we trace the Palestinians from the book of Genesis, chapter 25, all the way to the book of Obadiah. And in Obadiah, verses 15 to 18, it tells us that these people, the Edomites, they're the descendants of Esau. They're the Palestinian people of today. They will be wiped out as if they have never been. In fact, Jeremiah 49:18 says they will be as Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, the reason for that, it tells us in Obadiah that when Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire leader, came into Jerusalem and wanted to burn the temple down, all of the enemies of Israel arrived, and they said, Nebuchadnezzar looked at him and said, well, who wants to burn the temple down? Well, everybody raised their hand, but there was the casting of the lot. It's referred to there in Obadiah. It was the casting of the lot, and the lot fell on the Edomites, on the descendants of Esau, on the Palestinian people of today, and they're the ones that burned the temple down. Because of that, you can't mess with God's temple. They're going to be destroyed. Now, that same principle is applied to the Babylonians. The Babylonians would be modern-day Iraq. Isaiah 14, Jeremiah 50 and 51, Revelation chapters 18, verses 10, 17, and 19. In chapter 10, it says, in 1 hour they'll be destroyed. It says that again in verse 17 of Revelation 18, and then verse 19, it repeats it again. And when you look at Revelation chapter 16, verse 17 and following, it talks about Babylon totally being destroyed. Again, going back over to Jeremiah, it says they will be as Sodom and Gomorrah, as if they have never been. And why is that? Chapter 50, verse 28, chapter 51, verse 11 says, because you messed with my temple. You do not mess with the temple of God without a possible punishment coming upon you. That is the case for the two peoples, the Babylonians, modern-day Iraq, the Edomites, the modern-day Palestinians. They will be as if they have never been.
Mm. And get that DVD, folks. That's Esau and the Palestinians, and also the audio sections that go with it, and you'll have a great study. Chris Gray sends in a question. He says, below is a copy of some scriptures that someone gave me concerning Israel and the Jews. I have been having a discussion with this woman who told me that the Jews that are presently in Israel are not the Jews that are to inherit the land. She said that the true Jews are to stay out of Israel until Jesus returns, and then those true Jews will inherit the promised land. She said that all of the Jews in Israel now are liars, rapists, murderers, and God is not going to honor his promise to those because they are not good Jews. I'm trying not to be angry and lose it with her, but I am confused by the scriptures below. Could you please help me to shed some truth on this and to help me see if I am incorrect on my belief that Israel is promised to the Jews of Abraham's seed, whether they be in Israel or anywhere else, and that God will stay true to his promise, not based on the Jews being good, but by God's goodness and keeping in his promise.
You know, that's the key right there, Chris. By God's goodness in keeping his promises to the Jewish people. He made a statement in the book of Genesis, verse chapters 12 and 15. It's called the Abrahamic Covenant. I will make you a nation that will be forever. I will give you a piece of real estate forever. That means they have a piece of land that they have to have and occupy. God promised it to them. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. That's the land covenant. And they're going to have a king. His name is going to be Jesus. He's the Messiah. He will sit on his throne in the temple, on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. That's the Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel chapter 7. And the new covenant, you will be my people, I will be your God, Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. There's no place in the Bible, Chris, no place that says the Jews are to stay out of the land until Jesus returns. That is not true. When you look at what the word has to say. For example, Ezekiel chapter 34. In 18 places in Ezekiel 34, he says, I will find the Jews wherever they have been scattered. I will bring them back into the land. I will give them, like a shepherd does, a good meal to eat in the land. The land will be theirs, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He says it 18 times, I will do this. In chapter 37, he talks about the Jews as, and he uses them in the the illustration of a valley of dry bones. He says in verse 7 of chapter 37, the bones will come together. Verse 8, the flesh will come on the bones. Verses 9 and 10, the breath of life will be breathed into them. That's the regathering, the bones coming together, the restoration of a Jewish state, the flesh coming on the bones, and the regeneration of the Jewish people. That's when they come to know faith and they become God's people and he becomes their God. That's the new covenant, Jeremiah 31. Now, how do I know that's what it's talking about? Well, the bones and the flesh and all the breath of life being breathed into them. Look what it says in verse 11 of chapter 37. And these bones are the whole house of Israel. That means they will be regathered. They will be a state in the land before they come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. They will be in the land in unbelief. That's what it's talking about there. That's what you have to understand. And by the way, how are they not going to be able to look on Jesus? Zechariah 12:10 says they will look upon him who they have pierced. How are they going to do that if they're not in the land? That's when he comes back. They have to be in the land before he comes back. She talked about the synagogue of Satan, as talked about in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. Well, the synagogue of Satan was a local synagogue in these particular locations. Philadelphia was one. And he's talking about what is going on in the synagogue. Look, there are false Jews even in synagogues today. You know what today's Judaism is? It's called rabbinical Judaism. Rabbinical Judaism. That's not the word of God. That's the Pharisees. In fact, what did Jesus say about it? He hated that type of thing. Whited sepulchers, he referred to these who were a part of this rabbinical Judaism. Jim, my son, who's the co-host with me, or actually he's the host, I'm the guest on this broadcast. He had a conversation with a very famous, and I'll leave his name unmentioned, but a very famous Jewish evangelist, a man who was Jewish, who came to know Christ, and has done an outstanding job of winning Jews to Jesus Christ and teaching. But he got really upset with Jim when he said that this is of Satan, rabbinical Judaism. Well, it is, and that's what John the Revelator is talking about in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. True Jews are those who honor the Lord. They may not know Christ as Lord and Savior. During the 7-year tribulation period, there'll be true Jews there. Even today, they're true Jews. That doesn't mean that they're born-again Bible believers, because if a Jew comes to know Christ, he becomes a Christian. Hmm. But in the time yet to come, there will be true Jews that will be there, and those will be the ones who will come to know Jesus Christ. They have to be in the land before Jesus Christ comes back. That's totally wrong. Just use the positive, Chris. Take what I've just given you. Use the positive and talk to this lady. And by the way, I'm going to be praying for you. Man, if it was me in this conversation, I might get upset and mad myself. God bless you, buddy. We're going to be praying for you.
That's probably the fastest 45 minutes on the internet and radio that you can have as we have gone through and answered your questions. We have so many more questions. Dad, I want to thank you for taking your time. As always, I'll give you the last word, but I'm reminded as each one of these questions come in each week, and we probably have 50 to 100 questions that come in on a weekly basis, people genuinely seeking. And I'm reminded of, as we were at Lancaster last week at our School of Prophets conference that we had, you brought out a verse in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. And Daniel, he set his heart to understand, and he humbled himself before God. And I think that's the key in all that we are doing as we are studying, as we're asking these questions. First of all, humble yourself before God in anything, and go to God's Word and study and see what it says, not what you think it says, and not what you want to make it say. And you have to use hermeneutical principles, and you have to study the scriptures and come and humble yourself before God and set your heart to understand. And I am so glad that people take the time to send in the questions. And Dad, thank you so much for taking the time to answer those questions. And I know that you have something that you would like to leave with us on the last word this week.
Jim, wait a minute. I mean, you said everything that needs to be said, buddy. You say, I'm going to give you the last word, Dad. My last word's going to be goodbye. I mean, no, you said it. That is correct. Go to the Word of God. You know, Jimmy and I know myself, we're not the prophecy gurus. Now, we have been studying prophecy maybe a little bit longer than you. We can point you to passages of Scripture. But the answers to your questions are found in God's Word. So stay in the book, just like Jimmy exhorted you to do. Stay in the book. And doesn't matter what Jim Jr. or Jim Sr. says, what's the Word of God say? I would just challenge you to get into the book and study it. And you remember, every time we answer a question, and Jim, you know, you're smart enough, you can start taking some of these broadcasts yourself, and I'll just rest some. Your old man's getting tired. But anyway, stay in the book. Oh, by the way, Jim, I want to invite everybody to start praying for you, because Jim's going to be headed out to Hungary. You see, we are starting to pass the torch on to some of the younger guys. I've been teaching for probably 15 years in Hungary, the book of Revelation, and Jim's going to be taking that over this year. We're praying for him, so you lift him in prayer as well. It's going to be a great time. But the whole thing is, we're focusing on the Word of God. We're trying to help people understand the Word of God. I think Jim said it all. Hey, thanks for joining us this week. We appreciate it so much. Hope you can join us on Saturday, a very important program with a lot of questions to be answered, and find out about the current events unfolding in our world and how they fit into the prophetic scenario found in God's Word. That's 1 o'clock Eastern Time there on our website, prophecytoday.com, at Prophecy Today Radio, our internet radio station. It'll be live streaming audio. If you can't catch it in one of the network affiliates someplace across the country, join us here right at prophecytoday.com. And until next time we get together for Prophecy Q&A, Jim Sr. speaking for behalf of Jim Jr. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming, and it could be today.